This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire and entering promo code CAMPFIRE. Again, get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire and entering promo code CAMPFIRE. Thanks, Casper.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And I hope you've had a great week and you're ready for some spooky stories, because we have them. But first, I want to tell you about something cool. Now, many of you, all the time I talk to new listeners, and they wonder, well, how can I listen to those classic campfire stories from the earlier shows, ones that are older than 90 days? And I have an answer. It is my Plus Club. And it just doesn't end there with all those older campfire shows. You also get access to all of my older paranormal podcasts, 90 days or older. Plus, you get access to podcasts that have never been free and are exclusively available to Plus Club members. If you add them all together, we are approaching, we're not quite there yet, but we're approaching 1,000 episodes that you, if you go to my free site today, you can't get unless you're a Plus Club member. So you add to that webinars that you can access 24/7, and when we put them on live, where experts come on and give presentations, much like you'd see at a conference. And if you've missed those, they're all archived over at jimharold.net, where my Plus Club lives. We think it is a great deal, and even a better deal now, because we have a spring special. And that spring special is you can get $15 off your yearly subscription if you sign up for a year by using the coupon code 15SPRINGYEAR. That's 15SPRINGYEAR. And that gets it down, you know, quite a bit. And that discount recurs every year. Then secondly, if you say, hey, I want to sample it for a few months, you want to go monthly, you get $1.50 off of a monthly subscription if you use the coupon code 15SPRINGMONTH. That's 15SPRINGMONTH. So please, by all means, check it out, jimharold.net. I think you'll enjoy it. If you're listening to this show, you obviously like what it is that we do. And there's a whole heck of a lot more of it over at jimharold.net. Plus, all those classic campfire stories that you're missing out on. Stop missing out. No more excuses. The prices are low. Check it out, jimharold.net. And now, check out these great campfire stories. Sean joins us from Atlanta, Georgia, and he's been listening for a couple of months, actually found us through the campfire books. And if you're not familiar with those, go over to jimharoldbooks.com, and you'll see what we're talking about. If you like the show, you're going to like the books, I think. And Sean found us that way, and he wants to share a story today, and this is one from where he spent some time in Germany in the mid-80s. Sounds like a fascinating story. Sean, thank you for finding us through the books and for now contributing your own story. What happened?
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, back in the mid-80s, I was serving as a missionary. And you mentioned I'd read some of the books and stories. I'd just preface it to say that I'm not sensitive, but this is a story that's obviously stayed with me for 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the mid-80s, as I was a missionary in Berlin, I was asked to open an area in northern Berlin. At the time, the wall was up, and we were looking for an apartment. And a lady, we started talking with a lady, and she mentioned that she had an opening in the second story of her house, which had been converted into an apartment, which was recently made available. And we thought, well, geez, that sounds great. Sounds like we've been very lucky. We went and looked at the apartment. It was spectacular. Great price, and And the only caveat was she said, you know, there's one room up here that I asked you guys not to go in. I use that as storage. And we said, fine, great. Mm-hmm. So we moved in, and immediately I noticed something as I would go to the bathroom and take a shower that there was a presence. And obviously there were a couple times where I'd actually open the curtain and say something. No one was there. And the companion that I was working with at the time, he was in the other room, and he'd mentioned he'd heard something too. And I said, you know, that's just the oddest thing. Hmm. He mentioned that he'd had some experiences that he felt something was in there as well. So we would work constantly, come home late at night, and the back kitchen area was where we'd make some refreshments late at night. And it oversaw, it was a big wooded area, and it oversaw a church and a graveyard. Hmm. And we looked out one night, late at night, and saw a figure walking through our backyard, had a red fishbowl with a candle inside. And we noticed, hey, this is a bit out of a place. It was a bit spooky. We saw this figure walk through and look up at the apartment at us, and then walk through the graveyard. Well, some odd things continued to happen, one of which was that about 2 weeks in, I would notice I was waking up in the middle of the night. And I would say to myself, geez, I'm extremely tired. I'm not sure why I'm waking up. It happened about four nights in a row. And finally, I mentioned to my companion that I was working with, I go, you know, it's the oddest thing. I've been waking up in the middle of the night. And he said, you know, so have I. And we'd waking up at the exact same time. And it got to the point where one night I woke up and I actually called out. He was on the other side. And I said, hey, are you awake? And he goes, I am. And he goes, we both had the odd feeling that we should leave the apartment. And we went to call at the time our mission president. We were about 20-year-old missionaries at the time. Mm-hmm. Went down and called him. He was out at a conference, and so we went back to the apartment, and every single light in the second story where we were was on. Every single light. At the time, we were a bit, we kind of hustled up there thinking, geez, if someone's trying to break in, we weren't sure what was going on. We found nothing out of place. So we turned all the lights off, but I mean, every single light was on. And then we continued to, one of the biggest things that happened was in the room where we slept, the guy I was working with had a cassette. This is back in the days when yep. we listened to cassettes. And I wanted to record some of his music. And so the only way we could think to do it was we actually set two recorders next to each other. One would play the music and the other one would record the music. And so I put on one side of the tape and recorded, came back for lunch. It worked perfectly. So I flipped it over to the other side and we went out for the afternoon. I came back and came back in the evening and the recorder and the tape that was supposed to record was all the way rewound. And I said, doggone it. I must've forgot to hit play and record. And my companion said, no, he goes, I could have sworn I saw you do that. So we hit play, and sure enough, it started playing the music, but somehow it had been completely rewound. We didn't think too much of it. We thought, well, maybe it was an automatic rewind.
Right.
We got to the end of the tape, and we were just, you know, working and planning out the next day. And I'm not sure if you're familiar, when you record something back in the old days, it would just kind of be a static noise, kind of like, shh.
Yeah, I remember. I'm old enough to remember. Yes, sir.
So we, right then, about 30 seconds in, we heard a door open, and it caught both of our attention. We came over to the tape recorder, heard a door open, four footsteps, and then the door to where we were recording open, and a voice say something in a language we were completely unfamiliar with.
Oh, my.
And then the tape went off.
Huh.
And that's when these things, we said, you know, something is going on in this apartment. we continued to get mail from or for the previous tenant, who happened to be a lady. And we went to the landlady, who was an older lady, and we'd already asked a couple times for the forwarding address. And again, I was being a missionary, I loved getting mail, so it was a big deal. And I said, "Hey, just you know, tell us her forwarding address. We'll kick this mail over to her." And she said, "Well, there's no need to. She's dead.
She committed suicide
up in your apartment."
Oh boy, that explains a lot.
And I said, she went on to tell us that she committed suicide up in the bathroom, and that it happened just a month or so before we had moved in. And she said, she told us the story that she knew something was up. Again, this was kind of a wooded area, when she woke up the next morning and all the lights were on in the apartment upstairs. So she went upstairs and found, obviously, what had happened. And I guess the a little more interesting is that we ended up finding this figure that had been walking in the backyard was actually a friend of this young lady. And she had told us that she knew that what her friend was going to do, and that her friend had promised her that she would come visit her when she was on the other side. Now, she never did go to her place, but she did say that when she would, in fact, this young lady was buried out back in the graveyard, and she did say that when she would look up at her apartment sometimes, she felt that she could see her up in her apartment.
Wow. Did that change your perspective on all things paranormal?
Well, you know what? Like I say, you know, when I've heard the different stories, people talk about being sensitive. I haven't had more experiences, but that was such a strong experience that I know something. I definitely know something is going on. In fact, that, you know, I was later transferred out of the area, and a couple months had gone by, and we were with some different missionaries, and I heard one of the missionaries say, "You know, I swear this apartment that I went to was haunted." And I said, "You got to be kidding me. Where?" And, you know, I introduced myself and I said, "Which apartment are you talking about?" And it was this exact apartment. And he told us the story that he had been called by the mission president at the time, that one of the missionaries had fallen and broken his arm, compound fracture, in the bathroom.
Oh, boy.
He had asked this guy to go to the apartment to get clothes and stuff and meet these guys at the hospital, because they were going to be there for a while. And he told the story to me. He said, "You know, I went to this place, and, you know, we were kind of planning on having some fun and goofing around a little bit." But he says, "You know, as soon as we walked in, we knew something was definitely wrong with this place." And so they went to get the clothes. And he said, I went to open one door, and he said, it wasn't a physical voice, but he said, something told me in the back of my mind not to open that door. And the guy he was with said, "Don't open that door." And so they didn't. But he said, "You know, if I'd opened that door, I knew I was going to see something that I didn't want to see." So I asked him, I said, I'm familiar with the apartment. Describe to me which door you're talking about." And he outlined and described to me the door to this bathroom where this lady had killed herself.
Oh, boy. Wow. It's really a remarkable story. And that's the thing. I don't think you have to be a psychic or super sensitive to have experiences like these. I think that they happen to people of all beliefs, all walks of life, and they're just very, very difficult to explain, other than there is something out there that we might not quite understand.
Absolutely agree.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us today, for being a new listener, and sharing your story on the campfire.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the good work you're putting forward. Thank you.
This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper. So excited to have Casper as a sponsor of the program. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. And they're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. Now, the Casper mattress It's high tech. It's obsessively engineered, and it is at a very, very fair price. Now, it's a very comfortable mattress, and it has the right sink and bounce, and that's certainly been my experience having a Casper now in my own home. Best of all, you could buy it easily online and completely, and I want to underline this, completely risk-free. I suggest you try sleeping on a Casper mattress, and it's really easy to do because Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. Now, let's think about this logically. What is going to give you a better indication if you're going to enjoy and benefit from a mattress? Having a 100-day period to return it if you don't like it? Or going into a showroom with a high-pressure salesperson, maybe you've got bulky clothes on, and lying on the mattress for probably tops 5 minutes. What's going to give you a better indication? Obviously, the Casper model. And it is completely risk-free. Again, free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. You know, I was just reading that we spend something like 20 years of our life sleeping. Wouldn't it be smarter to do that with a mattress you've actually had in your home, been able to test for 100 days, risk-free, rather than 5 minutes in a high-pressure mattress retailer? We think it makes a lot more sense. I'm also glad to say, although we have listeners all over the world, and I love you all, it is nice to know that Casper mattresses are made in the USA. Now, here's the deal, the great deal Casper is giving to Campfire listeners. You as a Campfire listener can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/campfire. That's casper.com/campfire and entering the promo code campfire. Can you get any easier than that? Again, casper.com/campfire. And then once you get there, enter the promo code campfire. And again, it's completely risk-free. That's the beauty of the whole model, is if you get it and for some reason you're one of the few people who don't care for it, no problem. You can return it. I think it's a great deal. I think it's a great mattress. It's the new way of shopping for a mattress. It's Casper. And we thank them for their support and check it out. Thanks, Casper.
If you love these great ghost stories, please tell a friend about Jim Harold's Campfire today. Now, we return to the show.
Next up on the Campfire is Kim from Texas. Kim found us a couple of years back on her iPhone, and we're so glad that she did. Now, it's interesting because Kim is one of these, or she was, one of these skeptics. I don't know if she was a skeptic, but she says she's had no paranormal experiences whatsoever in her whole life. Until something happened a while back. Very interesting. Kim, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us and tell us what happened.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it was about 3 or 4 months ago. I had had a new baby and decided to sleep with him back in his nursery, which had been used as an office before. No one had actually slept back mm-hmm. in that bedroom. And so, you know, the very first night I slept back there with him, I was woken up. I'm a pretty light sleeper. It doesn't take a lot. But I was woken up by the sound of a door opening. Very distinct sound, like the knob actually turning, the door sweeping open, just unmistakable. That's what it was. And I was very concerned because I've got an older son, too,
right.
who's a deep sleeper. And the only time he ever gets up is if he's sick. So I went, like, tearing out in the hallway. Oh, no, what's wrong? But he was asleep in his bed. And on the other side of the house, my husband was asleep and our little dog was in her crate and there was just no reason for this noise. So I thought, wow, that was a vivid dream.
Right.
And just went back to sleep. And then it happened again. And it happened again. And it happened again. And eventually I'm like, okay, well, this is just the sound our house makes, you know, and I stopped going to check. Then other noises started happening.
Hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, I'm familiar with houses that make noise at night. I actually
sure.
lived in a 100-year-old farmhouse in my younger days. And these noises, it wasn't wood expanding and contracting. It wasn't like rodents scurrying around. It was the type of sounds that I would be making during the day. It was like, it would sound like the laundry basket being dropped on the floor out in the hallway, or a dresser drawer opening in the next room. It was like the sounds of somebody carrying on with their business, you know, just like living in the house.
Right.
And I lay there petrified, like my heart pounding in my chest, thinking, there's no explanation for this. You know, my husband would try to say, oh, no, no, calm me down. This is, you know, it's just, yeah, what is the furnace kicking on? Maybe we need to call an exterminator. And I would be sort of, you know, calmed down by him. And then that night I'm laying there with my heart beating out of my chest thinking, this is not normal. It was not only the kind of sounds, it was the number of sounds. I mean, I laid there for hours awake at night listening to, it was a racket. I mean, it was just over and over, all different sounds coming from seemingly different areas. And I was, you know, getting up throughout the night to nurse my son and never able to go back to sleep. So, I mean, this all happened over a period of maybe 2 weeks, and it was wrecking my life. Like, I was getting no sleep, and it really was all coming to a head. And then two things happened that just sent me over the edge. Mm-hmm. The first thing was, we had this little, what they call an activity station for a baby on the opposite side of the nursery. And it sits down on the floor, and there's different little things you can do. There's this barrel that you hit, and the baby hits with their hand, and it lights up the toy and makes this really loud, annoying song play. Well, I'm laying there awake, you know, can't sleep, listening to my house. And all of a sudden, this thing goes off with the lights and the loud noise, and it wakes up the baby. And so I'm just losing it. I'm so scared. I go grab the baby, you know, comfort him. And I'm sitting there thinking, this can't be. It's incredulous. How can this be? And then the thing goes off again. And this time I heard the whir of that barrel. Cause you know, you hit it with your hand, it goes
right.
And kind of spins. I heard that barrel whir, and you know, I didn't sleep a wink. I was up until the sun came up, just laying there.
Oh, that's
the next thing that happened. The next thing that happened, this was the final straw. Laying there, can't sleep, what's new? And there's this sound right by my head, just seemingly like inches away from my head, of like a metallic clicking noise. It goes click, click, really loud. Mm-hmm. And what it sounded like to me was somebody turning on a lamp, that sort of click, click, as you're turning on a lamp. And I lost it. I actually started yelling. I was like, I can't take it anymore. Shut up, shut up. And I went and grabbed my son and went over to the other side of the house, woke up my husband, said, we're sleeping here. You go back there and sleep and tell me it's some damn mice, you know?
Right.
And that very next day, you know, I'm kind of an open book and I tell everybody everything. I even posted on Facebook about this. I was telling everybody I knew, God, you won't believe what's happening to me. And the advice I was getting from people was, you can't mess around with this. You need to tell this thing to leave. And you do it in a nice way, like, you know, go towards the light.
Right.
Sort of thing. So, but when I kind of screwed up my courage and when it came time to actually do it, I was so sleep deprived and so distressed that all that fear I'd been feeling, it kind of like it turned to anger.
Mm-hmm.
And what I ended up doing was walking all through my house several times, yelling. And I was saying, you know, I've got little kids that live here. You know, I can't take it anymore. It's not right. It's not right. It's not okay that you're doing this. You know, I demand that you get out of my house and you go to hell. And I mean, I was like cursing at this thing.
Right.
And so it was a very cathartic experience. I actually had a good cry afterward. I felt really good about it. And then as the day kept going on, the fear came right back, and it was even worse because I thought, what if I made this thing mad?
Uh-oh.
And here I've got these little kids, you know, and I was thinking, if anything else happens, we're going to be sleeping at a hotel tonight because that's where this is going. Like, it's going to chase me away from my house. But went to bed that night, and it was complete silence. I couldn't even believe it. It was like eerily silent. There was, I mean, the house was hardly even settling, you know, there was nothing, and there hasn't been to this day. That was the end of it. And, you know, I'd never had a paranormal experience, and I love ghost stories and scary movies and all of this, and thought, oh, wouldn't it be neat? I kind of wish something like that would happen to me, but then it did. And I'll be happy if something like that never happens again. It's different when it's in your own house. You know what I mean?
And plus, when it involves your kids.
Yeah.
That's particularly right. frightening. And right. has your husband ever come around to the thinking that this was real, or is he just saying, you were imagining things?
Well, here's the deal with him. He had actually, like a lot of people I know, had a couple sort of ghostly experiences in his youth that he told me about, you know, years ago. And so when I'm telling him these things and he's kind of blowing me off and making all these excuses and stuff, it almost felt like a betrayal, honestly, at the time. I was like, why won't he believe me? But we've talked about it since. And what was really going on was he was scared and he didn't want, kind of like I said, to end up living in a hotel or something. He
right.
just kept thinking, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. I just got to calm her down, you
right.
know? I
mean, and yeah, and he's probably trying to keep you calm as well.
Yes, exactly.
Well, quite a story. I thank you so much, Kim, for calling us and telling us the story. Thank you for listening and for being a part of the campfire.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Next up on the campfire is Jeffrey. He's been listening since way back in 2010, so he's a longtime listener, Googled us and found us. And he has a shadow people story that came by way of his grandmother, and we can't wait to hear it. He's from Georgia. Jeffrey, welcome to the program. Thanks for listening and for sharing your story, and tell us about these shadow people.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me. Well, when I was small, my grandmother would babysit for my father, who was a single parent, and she would always tell me this little spook tale to try to keep me from like going into the basement by myself or wandering off by myself, stuff like that.
Right.
And as long as I can remember, I've always seen, sometimes out of the corner of my eye, sometimes they'll be plain as day. I've seen these shadowy apparitions, which I later learned that is a common phenomenon that people refer to as shadow people. Well, as a child, I made the connection that that's who she was warning me about. Which later on, you know, I learned what the actual story, it was like something that was told to her whenever she was little. It doesn't have anything to do with it, but that connection always stuck with me. But as I got older and these sightings kept happening, I started to ask other people about it. You know, what did, whenever grandma would watch you, what would she tell you? And they all had the same story, but, you know, it was never anything like I experienced. Well, now, 29 years old, I still see these shadow people in my home. And this home was built in my family in the 50s. It's always been my family that's lived here. There's never been anything tragic.
Right.
So it's confusing to me why, you know, this happens. And a lot of times when I'm home alone, I'll be awoken by what sounds like footsteps stomping around. I can't tell you how many times I've gone outside because I thought someone was wandering around outside my house, seeing a shadowy figure walk by the window. And just recently, I had an incident where I was outside around dusk, and at the edge of my property, there's a tree line that's getting kind of grown up with ivy and things like that.
Right.
So it's really dense. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw some movement, and I look over. I'm outside. I'm a smoker. Thus, I'm smoking a cigarette, and I see a figure standing there, and it's dark enough that I can't make it any features. It's just like a shadow right at the edge of this really dense forest, and as soon as I lay eyes on it, it walks backwards into that density and just vanishes. And it was so chilling because the place where I saw it, there's no reason a person should have been there, especially at this
right.
time. And it happens all the time. You know, these sightings of shadowy figures, you know, when I tell people about it, you know, they either think I'm full of it or, you know, sometimes they believe me. I've got a lot of friends that are, you know, they believe in the supernatural. They're scared to be here. It happens all the time. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't really know what to tell you what to do, because we do have stories that are shared, and we're a venue, but we don't really have advice per se. But so this is something that started off with what you just thought was a spooky tale to kind of keep you in line, and it's turned out to be absolutely true.
It's followed me around my entire life. And like I said, you know, I later learned that it's a common phenomenon that is referred to as shadow people.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It's very frightening for me, but it's never a very close encounter, and it's never threatening behavior, but I'm sure you can understand that just the mere sight of these things, it's
well, yeah,
it's
that would be terrifying. Now, Do you feel when you see these things, do you feel like a malevolence, like they have some evil intent?
Absolutely. But they never exhibit any, you know, threatening body language or, you know, get so close that, you know, I'm fearing for my life. But, if, you know, whenever I see them, it's absolutely terrifying. I just, you know, I get chills. I just, yeah. And, you know, and I'll say I like being scared sometimes, you know, like I said, I've always been a sucker for horror, but you know, this is a whole different ballgame.
Now, how often would you say this happens? Does this happen every couple of months, every couple of years? What's the frequency?
Every couple of weeks.
Wow. That's frightening. And other people see this too.
I've had one friend, who it was actually a girlfriend a couple of years back. We were in separate rooms. She was a live-in girlfriend and she was watching television and I was in my bedroom and I hear her scream bloody murder. I run into the living room trying to figure out what's wrong with her. The front door's open. She's out in the yard pacing around. I said, "What's wrong with you?" She tells me that she saw someone peek around the corner of the hallway looking at her. And I'd never told her about this. You know, this is something that I used to just keep to myself. Never told her about this. And she tells me that she's seen what I'm seeing. It blew me away. And so at that point, I told her all about it. And she hated being here ever since.
Now, I don't know if you're a religious person or not. Have you ever talked to a clergy member or something like that? Maybe it's something with the property. I know you said your family's had this house the whole time, but maybe it's something that's affixed to the land. I don't know. Is that something you've considered?
Something I've never talked to anyone as far as a religious figure goes about this, but something I don't know how I would even go about trying to discover this because I've asked around, family members asked if anything unusual or even horrific has happened in our family or in this area. I can't discover anything. It remains a mystery.
Well, it is a mystery. We wish you the best of luck. If anybody out there has any thoughts for Jeffrey, please let us know. And Jeffrey, just hoping that, you know, whatever this is, it stops. And I thank you for sharing your story because sharing something like this takes a lot of courage.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Longtime listener and previous contributor, Melanie from California, joins us. She has a story, and this one is disturbing, I think is fair to say, about a situation that her family has found itself in. And I really appreciate her having the courage and the faith in the show to share her story with us. Melanie, welcome back to the program, and please tell us your story.
Well, thanks, Jim. I really appreciate you listening. And here's my story. I want you to know that it has taken me a while to even actually decide to tell this story because I do kind of worry about, you know, the ramifications of not so much in the world that we live in, but in the afterworld. And so I've been real tentative about telling this story. But in 1995, my parents were both killed in a very fiery automobile accident. It was a huge accident. It made the state news. It was very disturbing to us because we couldn't find my parents for several days. The only reason why we knew that they had been in an accident was because we were lucky enough to have a friend who was on the fire department down in Sacramento. And he was able to establish that the unknown couple that were killed along the freeway were indeed my parents. During the period of time that this was taking place, we had them cremated. And I was actually keeping them in their house. And I was actually living in the house. It was decided that it would be better that way because we were trying to get the property ready to be sold and, you know, those things that you go through. Anyway, so I had them. They were both together in one crematory box sitting on my bookshelf. I know that sounds kind of morbid, but it was very comforting to me, actually. The house that we lived in that had been built by my grandfather. And, you know, we've had it other unexplainable things happen in that house.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing major, you know, just fighting here or a feeling there or something like that. And my family is very intuitive. The funny thing about that is, you know, you always kind of isolate yourself. You don't realize it's happening to other people until you actually talk to them about it. And when you talk to them about these kind of things, they don't usually like to talk about it in the first place. It's almost like that kind of Asian belief where if you talk about things, then it will happen to you, that sort of thing. But anyway, I've been in the house. I got a telephone call from my third sister, and she had told me that she was having a fumigation problem in her apartment, and would I mind if they came over and spent the night at my mom and dad's house? And I said, sure, come over. But there was an inkling in the back of my head that that probably wasn't really a good idea, because my sister and her husband had been involved with really heavy duty drugs. And so I was thinking, boy, you really opened yourself up for something, lady. So anyway, they did come over.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was kind of different was that she had rented a large vehicle to go and come to my house. And I knew that they had vehicles of their own. But anyway, I just thought, oh, I'm not going to worry about that. So anyway, probably about midnight that night, I finally went to bed. And my sister, when she's in that state, doesn't sleep. And so she's still kind of roaming around the house and, you know, doing this and having a cup of coffee or whatever, you know.
Right.
And so I finally went into my bedroom, or the room that I was using as my bedroom, and I shut the door. But I could hear her rummaging around. And so I knew something was up. And finally, I just got up. I went outside. The house was a rather large house, so you could actually, you know, kind of matriculate through the whole house without really being seen by anyone. So I went outside, and I saw that she was basically filling the car up with my parents' belongings.
Oh.
Yes. But, you know, that's a drug addict. That's how they are. You have to... You understand that that's part of the sickness, you know? And so I had to make a decision whether I was going to confront her, because she did have her husband there and he was a big guy, or should I just let it go? And I made the decision to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so while that was going on, I was just kind of, you know, praying to myself that nothing happened that I would have to talk to her about it or anything like that. And so the next morning, and it was pretty early, I got up. That stopped the activity, of course. And but they hung out until it was probably in the early afternoon. And Jim, I'm going to tell you that the atmosphere in the house got thicker and thicker. And it was at the point where you could almost cut it with a knife.
Mm.
It was just full of just like, if you could visualize it in your head, it was like a whirlwind going around the house. It was just the strangest thing. It wasn't calm like it had been. It was just kind of crazy chaotic. And so I'm kind of going, well, it's time for you guys to go. See you later, you know. Kind of edging them out. They finally did go ahead and leave. I remember shutting the slider, locking it. I went and sat down in the front room, and that's when all hell broke loose.
Huh.
I'm telling you, the lights were going on and off. The television was going off. We had a rock radio in the kitchen was going on and off. The house was just in complete motion. It was as if this tornado had finally, you know, burst in.
Huh.
And I was just petrified. And I finally said, stop it. I know you're not my parents because my parents would not scare me like this.
Right.
And boom, it quit.
So you felt it was some kind of spiritual imposter trying to psych you out and make you think it was your parents.
Yeah, I did. However, you know, upon thinking about it, if you ever knew my father, he really was kind of a volatile person. And, you know, it could be something where he was expressing his dissatisfaction in his oldest daughter for not taking control of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But whatever occurred there, it stopped. And, you know, I discussed the situation with my sisters. We were supposed to be meeting in the next few days to go through all of their belongings, separate things, send stuff to Goodwill and all of that. And so nothing really was said. So in her mind, she never knew that we knew that she had been basically burglarizing the house while she was there. And it took us a long time before we could make friends with her again. And I'm talking several years. And in that period, you know, she had gotten control over basically the narcotics that she was using. She had split up with that husband. Her boys were living with their dad. And the thing with her was she was kind of settling out. But then she started telling me about these episodes that she was having. And I was thinking, I wonder if she was experiencing, you know, what they call night terrors.
Right.
Now, I'm not a psychologist or anything, so I really don't know what the manifestation of night terrors is. But I can tell you that at night, if she was staying with me or if we were on a trip or something, I could hear her. And she would go into a deep sleep, and then all of a sudden, you would hear this voice coming out of her. And it was the oddest. It was like a really, really old woman.
Ooh.
And she would say the vilest, filthiest language that you can imagine. But she never said anything about, you know, I hate God or she's mine, or, you know, all the cliches that you see
right.
in all the movies. But it was one of those things that I had discussed with my other sisters. And we were planning a trip to go down to Southern California to visit one of my sisters. There's four of us, by the way. And mm-hmm. we went to her house, and my sister and her husband are very religious. And my sister was sleeping. My sister, the one that's been affected, was sleeping on the couch. And then she would be very silent and everything. And then all of a sudden, this voice started coming out of her again. And my sister and her husband came in and prayed over her. And it stopped. But mm-hmm. she did say a few choice morsels to them. So, you know, we did, over the years, you know, I finally admitted to her that I really felt that there was a possession going on.
Right.
And her reaction was really very strange. It was almost as if she already knew.
Hmm.
And she really didn't have any desire to change anything. So that's my story. We haven't had any real weird experiences since then. I'm sure that she still has these episodes at night, but I haven't heard anything.
Has there ever been any thought or any willingness on her part to talk to clergy or anything like that?
Oh, she's very, very into, you know, reading her Bible and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're not in your right mind to begin with, and you open yourself up, you're basically allowing stuff to come into you, whether you know it or not. So if you're intoxicated, extremely intoxicated, or if you're on some kind of a narcotic, or if you're involving yourself with people who participate in those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
I think it just happens. And I'm not really sure how much of it is her mental issues and how much of it his possession. So we pray, and we hope for the best. But I can guarantee you I've never experienced anything like that. And I'm not really too sure I want to again.
Well, it's it's heartbreaking when you think that a loved one of yours is going through a tough time, whether it's medical, mental, or maybe spiritual in this case. Melanie,
right.
My sympathies on the loss of your parents. That sounds like a terrifying and terrible thing to have gone through and then have this fallout. But I thank you for sharing your story on the program today.
I really appreciate the opportunity because I think there's a little bit of a moral to this story. Watch what you do with yourself when you're conscious, because when you are putting yourself in harm's way, things can happen.
Yeah, that seems very, very true. Thank you, Melanie, and thank you for being a part of the campfire.
Thank you, Jim. Bye.
I hope that you enjoyed this show as much as I did, and I hope that you'll contribute your own campfire stories. Just go over to jimherold.com/campfire. That's jimherold.com/campfire to sign up, and we have convenient evening and afternoon times. And if you're international and would love to hear from more international people as we go along, there's even a drop down for you too, so we can individually schedule a time if you're outside the United States. I thank you so much for tuning in. We certainly appreciate it. Remember to check out Casper. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.